Was that a thing in the 90s to ironically watch? Because in the 2000s, I know my friends did that. Like, they would ironically watch Sharknado, but I thought it was so, I hated it. I wouldn't go to those parties because it was just a waste of time. But I'm not ironic enough. I don't know.
I guess not. You need to read more Shakespeare. Just kidding. I think it's fine not to think that it's funny to hate on something. I just was not that way when I was a teen and in my early 20s. Mm. It was like my whole identity to ironically hate on things. Mm. But I'm a totally different person now, Alan.
Yeah, obviously. I don't know why this reminded me of this, but even when this week or yesterday, someone's like, "Did you watch the Super Bowl?" And I'm like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" No.
But Alan, Super Bowl is like one of the biggest food events of the year.
I was thinking about it yesterday after I said this after they asked about the Super Bowl. And I kind of said it as a joke, but then I was thinking about it I don't think I can name a single NFL player. Like, I can from the 90s and the early 2000s. Like, I know the quarterbacks from that era because in high school I would get up and I would watch TSN. But
right,
unless Kaepernick is still playing, I don't think I can name a single NFL player. Even the one who's dating Taylor Swift.
I was going to say, you don't know Taylor Swift?
Well, I mean, I know that he's a guy. And I know he plays for Kansas, but
you're better than I am. I guess now that you're saying it, I guess I'm aware that he played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because it was such a big deal. And I guess I'm aware now that you mention it, that Kansas and San Francisco played in the Super Bowl. That's about how close I got.
I learned that San Francisco played on Saturday night. Someone that we were hanging out and someone mentioned that San Francisco was in the Super Bowl. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know who the quarterbacks were, let alone the tight ends, Shale. I don't know.
Me neither, Alan. No hate on anyone that loves football. But I wouldn't find it fun to watch ironically or unironically. The snacks, though, maybe I could get into the snacks.
Did you go to a viewing? Or obviously not, I guess, if you're... But, like, did you... No Super Bowl party?
No Super Bowl party. I found out on the day... Well, I guess I found out several times during the week leading up to it that it was happening and then subsequently forgot. And then on the day, I think my sister mentioned something about that it was happening that day. And I was like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to be into the commercials.
Right.
Just like out of morbid curiosity, mm-hmm. maybe ironic enjoyment or something.
Do you mean like before they stopped airing them in Canada? Or do you mean like...
No, like during the time when they were not allowed to be aired in Canada, yeah. I would look them up afterwards mm-hmm. on the internet or other ways. I can't remember if I did that before the internet. Probably not, I guess.
How would you? Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there was a way. I feel like there was I don't know, maybe there was like Canadian shows that rebroadcast them or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Hmm. Not about food. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Welcome to Food Court. I'm Shale McDonald, and I'm here with my co-host, Alan Sutterby. Hey, Alan.
Whatever.
We're two chefs in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. We love food and we love to talk about it.
You're going to have to cut a lot of coffee slurps out of this one.
Yeah. I don't always cut all my own coffee slurps, I feel like. I try to cut most of them, but sometimes they're like right before or after I talk, which is like terrible. Recording technique. I guess I'm not a professional microphone communicator. I don't know.
Microphone communicator. Oh man, Shale, I have some follow up.
Whoa. And I didn't even ask about it yet.
Yeah. Because you told me that I'm allowed to eat it without you, I ate the Ichiran instant noodles.
Cool.
And it was, they were good. And actually, it was the first time that we've kind of talked about this. I didn't eat a whole bunch of instant noodles unless KD counts when I was growing up.
Right.
That counts as instant noodle, right? Well, it takes 6 to 8 minutes to boil, so maybe not.
If you said instant noodles to me, it wouldn't pop into my head.
Right.
But I agree that it's like a meal that's on the same par as like instant ramen, both with how quick and easy it is to make and also nutritionally.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, Ichiran is the first instant noodle that I have eaten that wasn't just with what I would describe as a generic flavor packet.
Instead of a powdered flavor packet, it has like a liquid soup base.
Right. And not even just that. I was half expecting that from your description. But the liquid packet, besides having a thick, viscous liquid component, it also definitely had animal fat in it. Like it had globs of pork fat, I would assume.
Right.
In it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just surprised me. And so, because I, full disclosure, the Ichiran packet was expired. A few years expired.
Oh, okay.
And so I like had it in the back. I was like, it's almost certainly fine. Probably the noodles will be slightly rancid, but it's going to be safe to eat.
I was going to say, like, I'm sure everything in there is safe, except the noodles might start to not taste very good.
Yeah, but they had a very, I feel like I'm very well attuned to the aromas and flavors of rancidity. Mm-hmm. And the noodles were very slightly rancid. But then because I had it in my head, I was like, oh, this expired 3 years ago. This reminded me of the conversation when the mysterious Burger Baron delivery showed up on my porch a couple years ago. And it was like, should I eat this? I don't know. I had in the back.
The answer is of course.
I had in the back of my mind, oh yeah, these are expired. So I like was kind of looking for clues that it might not be good to eat. And so when I was extruding the flavor packet and then this glob of white congealed whatever came out, I was like, for half a second, I was like, oh no, this isn't good. But then I was like, oh yeah, it's fat. It's pork fat for my tonkatsu ramen bowl.
Another thing that's interesting about it is I believe if you follow the instructions, you cook the noodles in a specific amount of water, but then the instructions are to not drain that water.
Yeah. The instructions are in Japanese, so I didn't 100% follow them, but the pictograms, that is the, you're right. Like it, cause even like,
which I guess is normal practice for any sort of like instant noodles. You just boil them in the water and then you're supposed to add the flavor packet. Obviously most people add the flavor packet before they fully boil the noodles, but
And the noodles were nothing special. I don't know, they were like they were not to me not distinguishable from a Mr. Noodle packet, really.
Weren't they straight?
No, they were curly. Like,
okay. I was wondering actually because, okay. Yeah. Because I think when you sent me a picture, it was like a square packet. Hey.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I think that's actually a different kind of noodle than the one that I've had before. It's probably just like a regular instant noodle then.
Do you mean that it's not Ichiran brand? Is that what you mean?
No. I mean that Ichiran must have more than one variety of their instant noodles and one kind, because the kinds that I've had have like a long straight packet of noodles that are not
like they're spaghetti, like, they're not even folded over on themselves, like it's like,
that's right.
Oh yeah. I see. Okay.
Yeah, it's just like it's like the same kind of, like if you buy dried noodles in this store, those ones that are like, if you buy dried soba noodles, they're like, have a little thing, like a little plastic bit wrapped around them, and they're in like individual like little portions or whatever.
Okay,
that's like what the Ichiran noodles that I've had are like. They're not like regular instant ramen type noodle. So yeah, and actually that makes sense. And I was thinking about that after we talked about it last time. I was like, oh, actually in that picture, I think it's like a square packet. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the packets that I've had and the packets that I've seen that were of the variety that I've had are just like the ones that I got were like in a box. And there was just like five of everything in the box. So there was five little sauce packets and there was five of these long noodle packets. And, but I think you can buy that individually, but it doesn't come in the same kind of package. And I didn't put two and two together when you showed me the picture. But afterwards, I was like, hey, wait, was that a square packet? Mm-hmm. And then what's the deal with that? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's kind of unfortunate because I would say that that's sort of like... For the Ichiran instant noodle experience that I've had, that's sort of an integral part of what makes it, I think, you know, unique. It elevates it above like a regular instant noodle is that you get like long thin noodles in the same format that you do if you eat in the Ichiran restaurant in Japan. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tasted good. And you're right, it had the additional packet of chili flakes. It was nice.
Yeah, like a little bit of chili powder kind of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did you add any toppings to it? Did you add an egg or anything like
that? I'm glad you asked. Don't be mad, but I added a sheet of nori, or a little square of nori.
I'm already furious.
And then some thinly sliced kielbasa. Not Stanichi's, but that style of Ukrainian garlic link.
Ukrainian garlic sausage.
And we had hard-boiled eggs in the fridge, and I added half of a hard-boiled egg. Not a fancy, what are they called?
Ajitama?
Yeah, not that. Just a hard-boiled egg.
Cool. I mean, for making instant ramen at home, use what you got.
Yeah.
I fancied mine up because I wanted to get an experience. I wanted to try to recapture... I was chasing the dragon of having Ichiran in Japan when I ate mine, but I think it's probably a more practical way to go about it the way you did.
Ukrainian sausage in Japanese noodle soup is really good, actually.
I've had it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. And American cheese. Ukrainian sausage and American cheese. I've had I've had that several times.
And you're starting to get into... boudin jjigae, right? Is that
that's kind of close now that I think about it.
And speaking of luncheon meat, Shale, you don't have more, you don't have any follow-up, do you?
I don't think so.
Okay, perfect.
A new listener sent us a message on Instagram and I was going to try and respond to it on the show, but I was having trouble pulling it up before the show, and so I don't have it in front of me, and so I'll just respond on Instagram. But welcome to any new listeners, and hope you enjoy the show. And thanks for sending us a message. It's great to get to interact with our listeners. I feel like when we, I have probably said this several times on the show, but I feel like when we started the show, it was like one of my hopes that, you know, we would get to interact with our listeners and answer listener questions and things on the show. Pretty often, and we don't get as many comments or messages from listeners as originally I was kind of expecting, and so we haven't really turned it into a big part of the show. But yeah, I just wanted to let people know that it's appreciated if you send us a message, and you know, we get a chance to, even if it's just like we're responding in DMs on Instagram or whatever. I really, that's like one of my favorite parts of doing the show, is like hearing what people think about it and getting to chat with our listeners. So thanks for sending a message. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of luncheon meat.
All right.
Did you find...
Sorry to ruin your segue.
Just no tact. Did you find the luncheon meat aisle at Seafood City?
That's a really good segue.
Did you gaze upon Edmonton's best selection of canned luncheon meat when you were there?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And were you impressed or no? You've seen better?
No, I don't think so.
Not in Edmonton.
Yeah. No, not in Edmonton. Yeah. For what would you call those? Composite meats? I don't know.
The polite thing to, the, the polite way to describe them is luncheon meat, Shale. That's what the menus say.
Yeah, okay, fair.
Yeah. But really, we're talking about canned processed pork. Well, not all pork, sorry. There's lots of corned beef too, but
yeah, totally.
Canned meat. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, like Spam and things.
Yeah. Spam, principally.
Yeah, it's impressive, beef. But there were so many other things that were kind of like catching my attention, mm-hmm. that it just sort of like, it wasn't one of the things that I was like, oh my God, and poured over.
That's where you and me are different, I guess.
I guess so. I think I was a little overwhelmed, honestly.
Makes sense.
I guess we're into our topic now, with little introduction. But Alan, on the show, what, like maybe four or five episodes ago, mentioned that there's a grocery store in Edmonton called Seafood City that is, I would say, a Filipino specialty grocery store.
Yep.
It has a lot of ingredients and stuff from other imported from other parts of Asia as well. It's sort of like, and now that I think, like, I wonder if that's what grocery stores in the Philippines are like. They have like stuff that's imported from all over Asia, but they specialize in Filipino specialty foods. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really big grocery store, like one of the bigger Asian grocery stores in Edmonton, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Disneyland. It's like.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a theme park. Yeah. It's almost like a theme park. You go in and there's like a huge food court area kind of in the front of the grocery store that has three different sort of counter service food spots for hot food. And then there's like a produce section that I would say has, you know, I would say what you come to expect in terms of produce that you would find at an Asian grocery store in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't too much in the produce section that I was like, oh, this is like strictly Filipino or like or specialized in terms of being having more like ingredients that go into Philippine food. I will say up front that like visiting this grocery store just highlighted to me how lacking my knowledge is of Filipino food.
Right.
Like I have some exposure to it and I've cooked with a few Filipino chefs and I when I was working on the Sunshine Coast, we catered a Filipino wedding.
Oh, really?
And so we roasted like a whole pig and things like that and made a bunch of preparations from the pig that were like, you know, very traditional Filipino wedding food, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would say that like, you know, for Southeast Asian food, you know, my exposure to Filipino food is like way less, and I have like way less sort of existing knowledge about it than I do about, like, for instance, Vietnamese food or mm-hmm. Thai food.
Mm-hmm. It's really underrepresented in Edmonton,
right?
In terms of restaurants,
yeah, which is shocking because there's a pretty big Filipino population here.
Exactly, like there's a huge Filipino population in Edmonton, and really there's only a handful of restaurants that serve Filipino food. It's really underrepresented, which is part of the reason that Seafood City is so amazing. Like, yeah.
So yeah, the one thing that I did notice in the produce section that they had like a huge pile of was purple sweet potatoes.
Yes.
So ube.
Yeah, to me, the two things that stand out in the produce aisle are ube and calamansi. Like the.
Oh, I didn't see any calamansi when I was looking through the produce, but I'm sure I just missed it. I'm sure it was there and I just missed it. There are, I mean, a ton of just like, it's like, what would I compare it to? I mean, the only thing I can really compare it to is like my experience of going to a Japanese grocery store in Japan. You know, like there are so many products like so many varieties of things that you've probably heard of, that like probably some things that you maybe haven't heard of or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or foods that you have trouble placing, like, oh, like what is that? Even if you maybe have had some exposure to it out of context, it doesn't make as much sense. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of like that, you know, there are just like so many varieties of so many like Filipino snacks and Filipino condiments and things like that. It was actually, it was really surprising, and it was making me, I don't even know if I should bring this up, but you know, it was making me, wish that we had a better Japanese food grocery store in Edmonton, right. Because, mm-hmm. You know, like there's just so many Japanese products that I've been having trouble getting. Mm-hmm. And if there was a grocery store that was similar to Seafood City, but for Japanese food, I would be able to get everything that I want. And I recently watched a video of Kenji Lopez Alt shopping at a Japanese grocery store in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was crazy. It was like, it's like almost like an actual Japanese grocery store. They have so much stuff there, so much variety, all of the things that all the different kinds of soy sauces and seafoods and dried fish that you could ever possibly need, right. To make authentic Japanese food. Mm-hmm. They just have on the shelf, and we have nothing like that in Edmonton, and it makes me kind of sad. Mm-hmm. But now I guess for Filipino food, we have an option. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. How long has Seafood City been open? Do you know?
No idea. No.
Yeah, me neither. Like, I imagine several years, but it's in a fairly new, like, it looks fairly new, and it's in a fairly new kind of, I mean, the development that it's in isn't fairly new, but, you know, I think that, like, it's got to be less than 10 years old.
Yeah, could be. I only heard about it probably last year, but, yeah, like, it's a big, it's in West Edmonton in a big kind of mega mart strip on 175th Street. Yeah, it's a very different vibe than most Asian grocery stores in Edmonton, like Lucky 97 or even TNT. Like it's mm-hmm. It's a very new, bright, clean, not that those other places aren't clean, but I mean, it's very new and sparkly. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, what else? So I looked at the produce section kind of first, and then I made my way through like the grocery aisles. Mm-hmm. And just saw like, yeah, so many products that I hadn't seen before, or so many varieties of products that I had seen before. So that was cool. There were a lot of, there's a big sort of frozen food section at the back that has like, looks like convenience products, like
yeah, spring rolls,
dumplings and things that are pre-made and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And then there's like the meat and fish like section, butchery. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think, my favorite part of the store.
Yes.
Yeah. So there, and you mentioned this to me before I went, but I was like pretty amazed to see the fish that they have there, that they have just like sort of a self-serve whole fish salad bar. They have a whole bunch of whole fish that are on ice. I think a lot of them were previously frozen, but still they look to be in like, for the most part, to be in fairly good condition. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I wouldn't say the eyes were totally clear and free of cloudiness or anything like that. But the fish itself like looked pretty well handled, like not damaged and, mm-hmm. and, you know, like looked like it was in as good a condition as it kind of can be in if it was like frozen quickly at sea and then, you know, unfrozen for the grocery store. Mm-hmm.
But like dozens of kinds, right? Like probably at least three dozen kinds of whole fish.
I've never seen
anything like that in Edmonton, and maybe I'm not going to the right places, but like even, and not just like things like branzino, like Mediterranean branzino. Whole
parrotfish. They have parrotfish there.
Glowing blue parrotfish.
Yeah.
flashing silver sardines.
It was pretty insane. They had like a lot of, they had a few varieties of like, you know, little oily fish too, that I didn't really know the names of. Mm-hmm. That they had, I guess, like their Filipino names, and they probably do have other names in different places. And I was looking for, I was hoping that I was going to find sardines there, but they didn't have sardines, unfortunately.
Oh, they had, I was there last week and they had sardines.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I wrote it down in my notebook. They have fresh whole sardines.
Oh my God. Okay. So this is a bit of a sidebar. I promise I'll get back to the fish and butchery, but, for like every few weeks, at the kitchen, we do like some kind of staff meal where somebody cooks a meal for everybody for lunch. Mm-hmm. And, a few weeks ago I planned one because I saw like a TikTok or something that had, that somebody was making, pasta con le sarde, which is like a, Sicilian pasta dish that's served with spaghetti or bucatini, and it's basically sardines and anchovies and pine nuts and breadcrumbs. Mm-hmm. And olive oil, obviously,
like flaked sardines. Or
well, so in the original dish, you're supposed to use fresh sardines, and then you basically cook them down in the sauce. You make a sauce out of white wine and saffron, and you soak raisins in it. Mm-hmm. And then you reduce that, and then you put in the sardines and basically cook them until they start to flake. Mm-hmm. So, but I was so sure that I wasn't going to be able to find fresh sardines in Edmonton that I just went to the Italian Center and bought canned sardines, mm-hmm. which still worked. And I've seen several recipes that recommend using those if you can't get fresh sardines. Mm-hmm. And it was okay, but I would have loved to have been able to get fresh sardines. And I don't know why I didn't think of checking Seafood City, but yeah, it's not surprising to me that you're telling me that they had fresh sardines there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you got to catch them on the right day, but mm-hmm. I guess I'll have to make it again with fresh sardines, because I'm sure it's like, it was a good dish. I really loved it. I really enjoyed it. And I think the people at work who ate it thought it was weird, but good. But
right.
Man.
It sounds very Sicilian. Yeah. Or sorry. Did you say, is it Sicilian or Sardinian?
Sicilian.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know if Sardinian people only eat sardines, Alan. Is that what you're implying?
But I think that combination of like fish, nuts, fruit is something that I associate with Sardinia, but
I'm fairly certain that that it's Sicilian, mm-hmm. from like a bunch of the reading that I did about it when I was trying to figure out the best way to make it without fresh sardines. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it has sardines in it, yeah. So everybody knows that sardines come from Sardinia, so.
Right. It's Italian for the Sardine Island or something.
That's right.
We had Mercado place that we've talked about that I worked at in Calgary. We had sardines on the menu. It was like there was these stone slabs that we would keep in the oven on the appetizer station, and then, and then we would
pizza stones.
Well, no, they were like almost like little pieces of slate. They're like little
cool
irregular pieces of slate that we would keep in the oven, and then when someone ordered a sardine, we would put a sardine on this on the stone and bake it up for them.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then they would get it whole at the table and debone it themselves, like take the fillets off both sides.
Yeah.
Cool.
The other interesting or surprise there was kind of like the staples of like Asian seafood, like there was pompano and tilapia and stuff like that. But there was also, I took a picture of it and I meant to send it to Kevin Costwin and ask him, but there was something there that they were calling walleye. Like it was like,
oh yeah,
lake fish, like walleye. And it looked similar. It didn't like the walleye that I've handled from Alberta, like are kind of speckled, and this didn't have that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's like, if it's the correct term or if it's a different fish with the accepted name of walleye or what, but I was really surprised to see that.
Yeah, I also saw two kinds of fish there that they were calling pike. Mm-hmm. And definitely one of them looked like exactly like a regular pike that you would catch mm-hmm. in a lake in Alberta.
There was a few, yeah, now that we're talking about, like, there were the other one that surprised, there was something labeled yellow perch, which is another one that like you can catch. And I don't know about, I've never, whatever, I'm not a fisherman. I don't know. I know that friends of mine have gone for yellow perch in Saskatchewan. I don't know. Presumably it lives in Alberta too, but I think I could spend an afternoon just like in the seafood section at Seafood City, just like marveling at what the offerings.
Yeah, and Googling things.
Yeah,
like exactly. I felt like when I was there, I didn't have time to look up everything that I would have wanted to. Mm-hmm. But like if I was there on a mission to just buy fish, I could spend like an hour and a half just like looking at everything and Googling it and trying to figure out like potentially what it is and where it came from. And mm-hmm. yeah, it was fascinating. The other thing about the fish section is that like I find in like TNT and Lucky and stuff, the fish section tends to smell fairly fishy.
Yeah.
Didn't really smell like that at all in Seafood City. I don't know if I was just there on a good day or something, but I don't know, like maybe my nose is like a little bit attuned to being okay with the smells of like having fish out or something like that. But yeah, I don't really remember it at all smelling fishy, like the fish section in a lot of grocery stores that, mm-hmm. And I think like if you go to like Safeway and go to the fish section, the reason why it doesn't smell like fish is because there's barely any fish there.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
and they bleach all the fish or something to make sure that it doesn't smell fishy. Mm-hmm. But then they just don't bother to do that in like Lucky or in TNT or something like that. And you know, the people who shop there and the people who work there understand that, you know, handling the fish, like there's going to be a fishy smell. But I don't know if it's just because the fish was really fresh or just, yeah, the day that I was there. But it seemed like the fish section didn't really smell like fish at all. So I don't know, maybe they're just doing it like a really great job of cleaning it at night or something like that. But man, everything seemed like really fresh and everything smelled good. And man, they had some really amazing looking shrimp there.
Yeah, the bags.
I don't even know where they were. Yeah, like amazing looking whole shrimp, like big, not that expensive. Looked like, I don't know. Yeah, looked pretty fresh to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely, next time I need to buy some fish, I'm going there like 100%. Mm-hmm.
The adjoining the meat counters, like there's always when you go to an Asian grocery store, obviously you usually see there's much more variety in the cuts than there would be at a typical North American supermarket. But I feel
and this is no different. They have a lot.
It's exhausting. A lot of cuts. Almost. It's just like if you look at pork, it's like I think the only piece of a pig that I didn't see was brain. Like there was.
Yeah.
Every organ. Well,
there was whole heads though.
There was. Oh, so that's true. Really you're right. Yeah, you're right. Seriously, almost every cut of pork possible, including offal and stuff. Like it was, and certainly for poultry. Like it's obviously more common, I guess, in other Asian grocery stores. But like, there's trays of heart and liver and gizzard, and I don't remember seeing feet now that I'm thinking about it, but
I'm sure they just didn't have them that day or something.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, it's really impressive. And yeah, I've never seen, even though there are always different cuts at Asian grocery stores, this was like an exhaustive list of cuts basically.
The one thing that I was hoping to see there that I didn't see was pork femurs. But I'm sure if you ask,
you mean just the bone?
Yeah.
What do you
mean? So like from a deboned leg and then the femur just like cut into pieces for marrow.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah. And I was looking because they're good for making part of a ramen broth. And so I've been kind of keeping my eyes peeled for some. Mm. But yeah, I'm sure if I ask them, I'm sure they'd be like, oh yeah, we can get that for you or whatever. Seems like they're cutting up a bunch of pigs there every day. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing that I'll say about the meat is that like, I like in a lot of grocery stores and actually like a lot of butcher shops too, like, I don't know that maybe you know more about this than I do, Alan, but, and so I'm curious to get your perspective on it, but like, I find in most butcher shops, like they tend to leave like the meat that's in the case that's in like the glass refrigerated case, like in front of where the butchers work, where you can, you know, go and pick out a steak or get somebody to cut a piece of pork belly for you or something like that. They tend to not be covered and tend to at, you know, like by a certain point in the day, start to like kind of look dried and stuff like that, dried on the surface and maybe a little bit oxidized.
Okay.
And I don't exactly know why, you know, I think that like, well, A, like it's okay to dry your meat. In fact, you know, like it's a little bit better to dry your meat a little bit before you cook it because you increase the, you know, you're getting some of the water out of it. You're increasing the density of like the flavor and the proteins and things like that. And so maybe that's why butchers are like, well, it's better to not cover it and like keep the, you know, keep the moisture that's on the surface, like away, like maybe it's more hygienic. I don't know. But the way that they had it set up in there was that they had like most of the things just like in the case sort of like covered cleanly and neatly, but with like Saran wrap or something.
Oh, was there?
And so everything looked like really nice and fresh and not oxidized and really well organized. You know, like not piled up, but like neatly stacked and so that they could access things really easily and stuff like that. It just looked really clean. Everything looked really fresh. Everything looked organized and everything looked like it was like intentionally laid out in a way that was like, you know, easy for them to work with and you know, made it look like they cared about how they put the product in the case and stuff like that, which I thought was really cool. And yeah, all of the meat that was like prepackaged on the refrigerated shelves that you could just grab for yourself also looked really well packaged and huge. Yeah, like an insane variety of things. And yeah, it was great. I remember being pretty impressed with the seafood and the meat at H Mart, but I definitely know that there was not nearly as many varieties of seafood and like not very many, if I remember correctly, not very many types of whole fish.
Yeah.
And stuff at H Mart, like mostly fillets packaged or like shellfish packaged. Yeah. And I don't have a super clear memory of what the butchery was like at H Mart, but I remember them having a lot of stuff, but I don't remember being, you know, like I don't remember remarking that it was like amazingly special and that I have to go back there if I need certain things or something.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just sort of like what I was keeping my eye out for. They didn't have, but like they have really nice looking pieces of pork belly at Seafood City that like with skin on that are like super clean and like really even pieces of pork belly, even looking.
Okay, so we've talked about produce and seafood and meat. Can we touch on the pantry aisles? And then really what we want to talk about is the lunch counters, right? Like the...
Yeah, yeah. But before we get there, I just want to make mention of the bakery as well.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
The bakery doesn't have like a ton of offerings. They have a lot of fancy looking cakes, which is kind of cool.
Most of them are purple.
But... Yeah, not, a lot of purple cakes. They have like, I should have written down what they're called. It's like a Filipino specific sort of like kind of European inspired bun. And they come in like several flavors and they have like an ubi flavor and they have like a bunch that are stuffed. I think there was like one that was stuffed with corned beef and, Yeah, they look really great. I didn't buy any because I'm trying not to eat too much bread, but I think I might go back. If I can find somebody to go with, then maybe I can buy one or two and share them mm-hmm. or something like that. But all of the baking looked really good. They had these big, they had these kind of like things that looked like muffins that were like baked with ube and they were like very purple. They also had these like braided loaves, like look kind of like a challah or something, mm-hmm. Like looked like a sweet loaf, with like streaks of ube going through it, okay. and stuff like that. Yep. It looked really amazing,
like a chocolate babka.
So yeah, yeah, only, kind yeah. of, yeah, yeah. Only not chocolate, but ube mm-hmm. instead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the baking looked really tempting and looked really delicious and looked, you know, pretty authentically Filipino to me, mm-hmm. to my eyes. But
the for the dry goods and pantry and snack food kind of thing, the first thing, like, yeah. to me it's really interesting just because I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know that you can't walk into most grocery stores in Edmonton and buy something like coconut vinegar or cane vinegar,
right?
Someone I work with at Nate is from the Philippines, and he didn't phrase it this way, but it's almost like, imagine, Shale, like you go to Japan and you walk into a grocery store and there's Coffee Crisp and all dressed potato chips and all of these things that are so specific to Canada that you would never see anywhere else.
Right.
Like, so that's what, like the kind of brand nostalgia that he has. He's like, mm-hmm. they have Jack and Jill potato chips and chocnut bars and like,
right.
So like,
yeah,
he's shocked every time he goes in. He's like another kind of obscure deep cut from his childhood, that they've imported. Yeah.
Yeah. What's one thing that's kind of nice, in Canada about grocery stores that have a lot of imported food is that like, there needs to be a label on it basically with some English that says where the product is imported from. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm going through those pantry sections in grocery stores, I'm often like taking products off the shelves and looking at where they're imported from, you know, just to get an idea of like, because like, you know, you'll see products sometimes with Japanese writing on them that are imported from Taiwan or, mm-hmm. you know, like different things like that. And so, you know, I was going through and looking at a lot of products that I wasn't really familiar with. And like, I would say 85 or 90% of the products that I picked up off the shelf in that store were imported from the Philippines, mm-hmm. which is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's not easy to run a grocery store on a whole bunch of products that you're importing from overseas. Like mm-hmm. it's, I think, you know, if it was easy, there would be a Japanese grocery store in Edmonton that would just, you know, have a whole bunch of Japanese products. But I think it's really tricky. It's tricky to get supply. It's tricky to maintain supply. I'm sure that there's like legal importing things that make it more difficult than it would be to buy from large Canadian suppliers that stock the shelves of like Sobeys and mm-hmm. and Safeway and things like that. I think it's a lot. It must be a labor of love to like find a way to import all these products that, that you never see in Canada. Mm-hmm. And, so yeah, it's impressive when you see all these things that you've never seen before and you know, someone took the time to find a source for it and figured out a way to get it shipped to Canada and,
yeah.
you know, and hopefully is making that profitable. Like it's encouraging.
And one thing, like just not that it matters, but Seafood City is a chain, so like they have their Seafood Cities in different right. Canadian cities and America and even off the continent. Like I think there's ones in Hawaii and stuff like that, so
okay.
they have the presumably they have the yeah the resources, I guess, to figure out that importing piece,
to do some large importing and mm-hmm. yeah and warehousing and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
So yeah, the snack food, like if you don't have a personal connection to Jack and Jill potato chips, maybe it's not that big a deal. They did have, I saw it was interesting. There was like things that looked like goldfish crackers, but they were actually flavored with fish. They weren't just like orange cheese flavored.
Oh, cool.
So that caught my eye. And then, but for me, really, it was like the things like there's a couple of varieties of patis, like the Filipino fish sauce version of fish sauce. You can get that at places like Lucky 97. But yeah, there's like, you know, an entire wall of different brands of Filipino fish sauce. To me, the vinegars were really interesting because that's something that I've been told, but chiefly by students, Filipino students at Nate, like that if you want to make something like kinilaw or adobo where like vinegar is an essential ingredient, if you want to make it authentic, then yeah, obviously, whatever. At school, sometimes we make them use white vinegar or cider vinegar, but they're like, it should be coconut vinegar or it should be cane vinegar, right, or whatever, which
maybe. And those things make a huge difference when you're like trying to make a dish taste authentic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you just don't have, I feel like, you know, Western Chinese food is like a big example of that. You know, like there's a whole cuisine that's basically a separate cuisine from actual, you know, authentic Chinese cuisine that was like invented, inspired by Chinese cuisine, but with, you know, like having to deal with what? The lack of being able to get most of the ingredients that they would normally be able to get. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like maybe you can only get one kind of soy sauce when normally you have like 30.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not just talking about brands. I'm talking about like
styles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. For different uses. So really my exposure to Filipino food has just happened in basically since I've been at Nate, because there's students and employees, from the Philippines who, they just want to cook their food. Say like a student has a project, like they need to make a menu or make a menu feature. And then, so they started just like cooking Filipino food. And that's been the bulk of my exposure. But even, flashback 15 years or so when I was a student at Nate, there were two opportunities for international exchange that year. And one was in Austria and one was in the Philippines. And the way that you applied, like you wrote kind of like a cover letter, but you also had to do a kind of research paper on the cuisines of those countries.
Right.
And so my intention was to apply to both exchanges. And so I bought, or maybe Lisa bought for me, a book about Filipino food. It's called Memories of Philippine Kitchens. I can't remember the author's name. And so I'd flip through that and I started to write the paper on Filipino food, but then never finished it. And so I only applied to the Austrian one. And I was accepted and did that program. So I had some things in the back of my mind about what Filipino food was. And I remember the interesting way that that book was structured, because it instead of being like, you know, vegetable preparations and meat preparations and whatever else, it was, the three sections were food that has always been ours, food that we have made our own. And I can't remember the name of the last one, but it was basically like, basically food that has existed on these islands since time immemorial. The second section was largely about the Chinese influence on Filipino food. And the last one was about kind of like the last few hundred years of colonization, yeah, where it's the influence of Spain, especially Spain, Mexico, and the United States. So it was a really interesting way to structure the book. But I remember one of the hallmarks of the food that has always been ours is vinegar, because that's like just such a integral part of the oldest Filipino preparations. And of course being based on ingredients that existed there before. I don't know about cane. Cane, surely, I can't remember. Cane is from the Middle East, right? Or is cane from Southeast Asia? Cane sugar.
I actually don't know. I don't know. I think my like gut feeling is that Southeast Asia, but
I can't remember now.
Yeah, but I actually don't know.
But yeah, those those interesting vinegars, cane, coconut, and other ones based on fruit from that are native to those islands. So
yeah. Yeah, that vinegar aisle was crazy. There is like a bunch of different varieties of vinegar. Yeah, like there's coconut vinegar and cane vinegar and, you know, like a bunch of different styles of vinegar, but then flavored in all different ways. Yeah. And like,
and mixtures with like calamansi and vinegar together and stuff like that. And yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or chili, like chili vinegars.
Yeah, and garlic. And, yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. Loved the vinegar aisle. And it was a little overwhelming. Like when I was looking through the vinegars, and there's like sauces in that aisle too, a bunch of sauces that I had never heard of. And I was like, wow, I really know nothing about Filipino cuisine. I really need to spend a little time. I guess like I need a Filipino guide
exactly,
to like
yeah.
take me through the grocery store yeah. and show me how to cook some things. And
okay. Did you eat there?
Okay. Yes. So I ate in the food court there.
Yeah.
Before I went, you told me that they actually have balut there.
Yeah.
So I was looking forward to trying that. Unfortunately, they didn't have balut.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when I was there, they were out, I guess. I don't know if they sold out earlier in the day or they just didn't have it that week or something. Mm-hmm. But they have a big sign when you're walking in that says balut, like hot off the grill or something like that.
Yeah. Yep.
What are the sections of the lunch counter called? There. One's Grill City, one's Crispy Town.
Crispy Town.
Crispy Town? Yeah. Oh, okay.
And Noodle Street.
And what's that?
Noodle Street.
And Noodle Street, right. Yeah. Sorry, I got to change Crispy Time to Crispy Town in my notes so that I don't forget. Because I'm going to look at these like 6 years from now and be like, oh, yeah, I need to go check that out. And then I'll have the wrong name. So yeah, it's pretty overwhelming. Grill City, they have a you know person behind like a glass wall, and they're just like grilling all kinds of skewers and pieces of pork and different kinds of meats and and like vegetable skewers and seafood,
whole fish,
parts of fish, like
hot dogs
with all kinds of different seasonings, and a lot of it like, you know, some of it like grilled in sort of like what you would say is like maybe a style that you might see like more in North America, where things are just grilled like with grill marks on them. Some things like really like blackened in a specific way, and just like all kinds of really amazing looking offerings. I only had a couple of things from Grill City. Mm-hmm. I was hoping to have a balut, but I asked about it and she said they didn't have it.
Okay.
And then I ordered a pork skewer that was just like basically, I think pieces of shoulder meat or leg meat, dipped in like a vinegary barbecue sauce and then grilled. Mm-hmm. That was amazing. I had a piece of pork liempo, which I believe is like belly with the bone on, and then they cut it into strips, and then it's marinated. It did taste like fairly vinegary, but I don't know what type of vinegar they marinated in. Mm-hmm. And then they grill it pretty aggressively so that it's got like a lot of smoke on it. Mm-hmm. And that was delicious. But those are the only two things that I had from Grill City. And there were like... how many offerings would you say that they have there? Like
it's dozens for sure.
Yeah, dozens. Yeah. Probably somewhere around three dozen or something like that. When I first walked in, there was a gigantic lineup.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. To get to the food counter. Because I went like right around, I think it was like right around like 12:30 or 1 o'clock or something like that on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so there was just like a huge long lineup. And so I was like, well, maybe I'll just like take a look around the grocery store. And then when I came back, it was a much more reasonable sort of short lineup to get into the lunch counters. Mm-hmm.
The only thing I've had from Grill City is the chicken in a sal, which is just like it's lemongrass marinated chicken that's grilled and serve it.
I saw one piece of it there. Oh, okay. It looked good.
Yeah. Serve it with rice. And there's like, I think a lot of the stuff that they have at Grill City, like it will be served with white rice and achara, which is like, I think it can be achara is pickles, And it can be made with a bunch of different things, but the one there, I think specifically, is made with bitter melon. That's what it looks like anyways. Like, it's kind of like a really wrinkly, slightly bitter cucumber look to it. And they'll ask you if you want, you know, extra vinegar, like a little cup of vinegar on the side or, but yeah, chicken was good.
So here's my problem. I wanted to try a bunch of things, but I didn't want to eat a whole bunch of carbs because I'm trying not to eat too many carbs. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want to order just like a plate with one thing and then a whole bunch of rice. Yep. And so I didn't order any like meals. Mm-hmm. I just ordered specific things like pieces of meat or things that I wanted to try.
Yep.
And at Grill City, that was okay. She just gave me like one piece of the liempo and one skewer, and that was all good. Mm-hmm. When I went to order at Crispy Town, the woman who was like trying to serve me was like getting really frustrated that I didn't want to order like just a meal with like one thing on it or one or two things on it, that I wanted to just like order some things to take away, mm-hmm. which I don't know. They have boxes there for taking things away, but she didn't want to give me less than like a pound of a bunch of things.
Right. Yeah.
It's and I just wanted small amounts.
Yeah. I think you're intended to go with a bunch of people and everybody gets a pound of a thing and then you share it all.
Yeah. I mean, that would have made sense. Like the least I was able to get her to give me of most of the things was like a quarter pound. I could tell she was getting really annoyed with me and didn't want to, you know, like was just putting like a pound in the box. And then I would have to ask her to take some out and she would look really annoyed about it. And I don't really understand why. I guess, I don't know, probably because, I don't know, she's just used to dealing with, you know, Filipino customers who know exactly what they want and, you know that they're going to get a pound of it and she doesn't have to have a conversation with them or something like that. Yeah. But
so what'd you get?
So from Crispy Town, I tried there's a name for it, but I forget what the Filipino name is, but it's like a pork skin chicharron, deep fried.
Yeah, it is just chicharron. They use the same word.
It was like something chicharron, I forget.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah. And then there was chicken skin. I wound up with about a half pound of chicken skin, deep fried chicken skin. I wound up with about a half pound of fried smelts.
Yes.
Which is too many fried smelts for you to eat on your own.
Yeah.
But I wanted to try the little fried whole fish. Mm-hmm. And, I got one more thing. Oh, yeah. And calamari.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But yeah, again, like I got them all separate and I didn't get them kind of like with a meal. And so the other drawback to that is I didn't really know what condiments to get with them. And so I kind of wound up with no condiments. Mm-hmm. So they had like, they had some like packaged hot sauce that I took and I used on some things.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And then I also, on your recommendation, got the calamansi juice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't order anything from Noodle Street because, it would have been like ordering a whole meal and I already had like
5 pounds
of fried meat and grilled meat.
Yeah.
So, I tried everything. Everything was like amazing. I will say that like for most of the things that I got from Crispy Town, they all had like a fairly oily, consistently kind of like deep fryer oil flavor to them.
Right. Yeah.
Like a nondescript sort of like we fry everything in the same oil kind of flavor.
Yep.
I don't know, like something tells me that like if you buy the chicharron from a street vendor, you know, in Manila or something, like you're going to get something that tastes a little bit more just like the chicharron or something. And it probably would have been different if I'd gotten like one thing and eaten it with rice and the correct condiments and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I did kind of get the feeling that everything was sort of like had a bit of the like same flavor because it's all just like cooked together. Mm-hmm. And so like some of the things like the chicharrón, and the chicharrón was like really interesting. Like it was cut, the pork skin was cut in a weird way so that it sort of like makes this kind of like floury sort of, as I think it like kind of bunches up as it's fried. And so you get these like curly kind of pieces. And that was really cool. But yeah, to some extent, most of the fried things kind of all tasted like each other.
Right. Yeah.
Which I felt like was a little bit unfortunate. And, you know, I think that this is probably largely from the fact that I just ordered like four fried things, but it wound up feeling pretty greasy eating those things.
That makes sense. one good way to enjoy Crispy Town and have the flavor differentiation is to try the sweets, because they've got some sweet fried things.
Right.
You didn't try those, though, eh?
I didn't. No, I was super tempted. There's like this long, crispy looking kind of like, I don't know, phyllo-ish sort of sweet treat that it looks like.
It's like looks like a track and field baton. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
The tuaron.
Like, kind of like a long john or something, yeah. But crispy.
It's banana wrapped in spring roll wrappers and deep fried crispy. Not just a banana, like it's much longer than a banana. So it's some kind of banana composite situation in the middle. But when I saw that, I was like, it looked like a billy club. Like it's just like this long, hefty, I couldn't resist. And I was like super full from eating at Noodle Street, but then still had to get try that.
Yeah. If I go back there, I'm definitely going to order that thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was no way I was going to be able to eat it the point that, yeah.
Well then next time, if you need a little sweet snack from Crispy Town, the Bucci, they're like the size of a ping pong ball, and they're coated in sesame seeds and filled with red bean paste. They're really good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I would love that. And I had the calamansi juice, which was delicious.
It's so good. It's
so good.
My only exposure to it previously was in Hawaii, if you go to a market and you buy papaya. Oh, sorry. I'm making it sound like it's a general fact, but let me step back. At a market, I bought a papaya, and the woman who sold it to me was like, "You have to take this calamansi and squeeze it over the papaya.
Squeeze it on.
And that's how you eat the papaya." So she like bought papaya and left with papaya and calamansi. And that was the only time I'd ever tasted it. But yeah, they have cups of calamansi juice at Seafood City there. I assume it's from fresh fruit. Maybe it's a packaged product. I have no idea, but it's so good. It tastes
I have no idea.
It's kind of like delicious, tangerine though. Or like it tastes like mandarin orange a little bit to me. Like it's just like a really.
Yeah. Nice... It tastes kind of like mandarin and lime.
Yeah.
Floral, like quite floral. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Like if there was mandarin peel in it or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like lime juice, like limeade. If you put floral tasting mandarin peel in it or something,
maybe not. Yeah, to me I get the lime comparison. It's not definitely not as acidic as lime, like you know what I mean, like it's not as
yeah as well. There was a lot of sugar in it too though, so
oh is that right? Oh
yeah,
so tasty.
Well, yeah, definitely. It wasn't just straight fruit juice. I would be shocked to find out that it was just straight fruit juice.
I'm gonna look into that, because I bought it on the assumption that, because it's just labeled calamansi juice, but
that is true. Yeah. But something tells me that there's sugar.
Not calamansi drink, it's calamansi juice.
I think like there might be different rules.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, it was delicious. The smelts were also delicious, but yeah, I couldn't eat that many of them.
Right.
Like they're so rich. Mm-hmm. And the calamari was really good. The chicken skin, it's good. You know, like the way that they fry it is just like in big bunches and it's all curled up. And so like you get bits that are like crispy, bits that are like too like overly fried. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, some bits are starting to taste a little bit kind of like have a bit of a burnt flavor. Yeah. And then some bits just aren't quite fried enough. You know, so they're still a little bit kind of like chewy or soft. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's probably exactly normal. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm a snobby chicken skin aficionado or something. Mm-hmm. I've made and eaten a lot of chicken skin, and I know the flavor of when it's kind of like overly fried,
yeah,
and don't love that. So, you know, it was good. They had actually like all around the store, they had cups of like chicken skin that were like flavored with chili and stuff like that, or like some different flavorings. And I was thinking I probably should have just like bought one of those because they're like, I think once they're like fried and then dressed and then dried out, they're probably, it's probably a better situation. So yeah. And I love the chicharrón because it's like very different from like most like chicharrón that I've ever had, like just the format of it and the way that it was fried and the way, and it was like purposely like, you know, the edges were crispy, but like it was like kind of soft and chewy on the inside. I really love that. But I would like to try like several different examples of it. I think that like there's probably a higher quality level of that specific dish that you can get if I had to tie a bow on how I felt like my experience with Crispy Town was that everything was like really great, and I had fun like trying a few things that I rarely get to try or that I've never had before. But that maybe they weren't like the sort of like ultimate representation of what that dish can actually be like when it's like prepared with like specificity or something like that. I don't know, maybe I'm getting the wrong impression, and maybe it's like a very good, very traditional example of what those foods are like. But I felt like I wasn't getting the best example of some of the foods that I ordered. Sorry, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to quickly comment on Noodle Street from my experience.
Right.
I think the whole menu is MAMI, like M-A-M-I. It's just the Filipino word for noodle soup. And so you get, there's different combinations, obviously, but like the like combo number one or whatever is like a bowl. It has like pretty, whatever, like utility grade instant noodle kind of clump, and say braised beef, and then pork and shrimp wontons, some chunks of tofu, some shredded lettuce, that kind of situation. And then they separately give you like a pint of hot beef broth. That actually looked sometimes looks like it's going to explode, like because it's like they've microwaved it. And so it's like distended and like pressurized.
Right.
But yeah, and it's tasty, and it's a good, it's a fine lunch, but yeah, it's kind of, maybe like what you're saying, like it's not whatever, it's not nothing to write home about, but it is really tasty. I think that almost all of, I like whatever, there's ones that aren't based on beef, but like we'll have veggies and stuff, but I think that,
yeah, I saw a bunch of stuff on the menu for that place too that had like rice noodles. There's like,
oh, is that right? Okay, yeah,
yeah, I think like kind of more clear type of rice noodle or something like that. And I was definitely like interested. Also, I saw when you got yours, I saw a bunch of people eating like soup out of like a stainless steel bowl that was like in a little wooden base or something. I don't know if there was like a heating element underneath and there was some kind of like hot pot type of situation, but I saw a few people kind of like sharing this soup that was served in a stainless steel bowl on a wooden sort of holder that was like holding the bowl up above the table.
Okay, cool.
And I was really curious about that, but I didn't have the guts to go up and ask some just another diner who was sitting having their lunch.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess I probably should have.
Cool. I'll keep my eyes up for that.
It was really busy when I was there.
Yeah.
Like I said, I went around noon on a Sunday, so that's probably one of their busiest times of the week. But
after church, basically, right? That's the other thing.
Yeah,
every time I've been there, they're like blaring Christian rock. I don't know if you noticed that, but it's like Christian radio.
Oh, I didn't notice. That's funny. I didn't really take much note of the music, actually.
Yeah,
I probably should have paid better attention.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it was a heck of an adventure. I'm excited to go back and keep my eyes out for some more specific things and maybe like try to find a couple of like Filipino cooking projects that I feel like I could, you know, reasonably take on at home and go and get some ingredients.
Totally.
Oh, and so they didn't have balut there. But what they did have was in like the, I guess like the refrigerated section where they have like dairy and things like that and eggs. They had this like little package of pre-cooked balut. Oh, okay. That you can like take home and heat up yourself.
Still in the shell?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So there are like four of them in the package, and they're like pre-cooked, mm-hmm. but still in the shell. And then they give you reheating instructions.
Okay.
And so I was like, like knowing how I feel about pre-cooked hard-boiled eggs.
Right.
I was like, this probably isn't going to be the best representation of this, mm-hmm. but they had quite a few of them there. And I was like, well, it seems like something that like people are buying and using. So yep. maybe I should give it a shot. So I picked up a package of those and I brought them home and I reheated it according to the like slow reheating method, which is like basically boiling it for 3 or 4 minutes in a pot. Mm-hmm. And it comes with a little packet of chili vinegar.
Oh, yeah.
So there's like four eggs and then there's four little plastic packets of chili vinegar. Mm-hmm. And they recommend eating it like dipped in a little bit of the chili vinegar and with a little bit of salt. Mm-hmm. And so I did that. But I think it wasn't like a very good representation of what it's supposed to be like. Like, I think it was a little bit like getting like a pre-cooked hard-boiled egg. In fact, I would say it's like, to me, it seemed a little bit like eating a hard-boiled egg that was like a little old, okay. you know, like that was overcooked and a little bit old. Right. 'Cause when I cracked it open, it had a little bit of like, well, a pretty noticeable kind of like sulfury smell. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is that like, you know, from what you've told me about it and from like other videos that I've watched of people preparing them and stuff, like when you make it and open it, like you open it from the bottom and there's supposed to be some like liquid that's like kind of like chicken, like flavored, like kind of like chicken broth or something like that.
Yeah.
But when I opened mine up, it was like quite dry inside. And I was like, oh, okay, like this isn't, I don't think, exactly how it's supposed to be.
Right.
And I ate probably about half of it before I was like, I feel like this probably isn't the best representation of what this is supposed to be like. And it's kind of sulfury and not that great. And so I should probably just like hold off until I can have a good one. Yeah. Which was unfortunate because I bought four of them and ate half of one.
Right. And there's not a good resale market for opened packages of balut.
No, exactly. Although probably if I put it on Marketplace for free, somebody would have come and grabbed it.
I don't know about that, but
maybe next time. Anyway, yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get to have my real balut experience yet. Mm-hmm. It was still fun though, like buying it and warming it up and opening it up and. I had, you know, I was excited, but I also had a little bit of trepidation, mostly because it was like a pre-cooked thing. And I was like, and I was on my own, so I didn't have anyone to tell me whether it was like reasonably good or not.
Yeah.
But yeah. And yeah. So that was kind of sad. Yeah.
But then when I did, I had a classroom full of people looking at me, watching me, filming me.
Yeah,
even.
That's probably
so
worse.
That added a whole other element to it.
Yeah, no kidding. Anything else you want to say about Seafood City?
I mean, just, I guess, in closing, like, you don't get a snapshot of a cuisine like that really anywhere else in the city that I've seen, where it's like, obviously, you can go to a restaurant that specializes in a regional cuisine, but it's different. When you're looking at a menu, you know, and ordering a few things, it's very different than going to the food court, to the lunch counter at Seafood City and seeing everything on display. Yeah. And like, you don't have to know what it is, but you look around, you start pointing at stuff, ordering stuff. It's really fantastic. I can't think of a comparable experience in terms of just like the sights and smells of of so many different things on offer that you can just order and try. So yeah, I think it's a special place.
Yeah, totally. I was going to say that I think that, you know, like H Mart has like a really good representation of a lot of things that are very Korean, but, and they do have a lunch counter at H Mart, and there are a bunch of things that you can get there. But yeah, I don't think there's like near as much variety in terms of like, you know, the products that they're just making there that are like so authentically Filipino in the case of Seafood City. Yeah, you're right. It's pretty unique. I'm a little shocked that I had never heard about it until you brought it up with me. And I think, yeah, that's just a symptom of like how underrepresented Filipino food culture is in, you know, kind of our everyday in Edmonton. So yeah, I'm glad I know about it. I'm glad I got to go and check it out. I'm definitely going to go back and try and get a few unique things and try them out and do a little bit of cooking. So maybe there'll be some follow-up down the road about that.
Thanks for listening to Food Court, a podcast recorded in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Food Court is hosted by Alan Sutterby and Shale McDonald. Theme music by Ryan and Shale McDonald. Make sure to subscribe to Food Court in Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or in your favorite podcast player. We love to hear from our listeners. Please drop us a line at feedback@foodcourt.fm or find us on Instagram at Food Court Podcast. If you want to spread the word, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a fresh new episode. Thanks for listening.